Exodus 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I will make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, that he will let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh will not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst." So Moses and Aaron did it as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Work a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and thus they did, just as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. For each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile, and you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. And you will say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, "Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness." But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their streams, and over their pools, and over all the reservoirs of water. They may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.'" So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. And the fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the Nile. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Amen. So this is Moses is now going to Pharaoh for the second time, and he says a couple of things, and so I'll draw on this a little bit. The first thing, he says that, "I will make you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron and brother Aaron shall be your prophet." This picture, "I will make him as you as God to Pharaoh," he's not saying that Moses is now God, okay? That's not the picture that he's drawing here. But the reality is, in these ancient times, when someone was an emissary of somebody, a representative of someone, then it could be very said that you are a god to me in that regard, or as a god, or whoever is represented. And so that's what the phrase is meaning here. So it's more of kind of an idiom than an actual representation that now God, or that Moses is now God. I think we all kind of figured that out already, but I just want to say that just in case you didn't catch that. And then your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. And so he'll be the one that's actually going to be the spokesperson, but the authority and everything is going to come from God. And so you see the kind of the delineation of labor here between Moses and Aaron. Now, so you shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, and that he let the sons of Israel go out of this land. And then verse 3, and this could be a very troubling passage in many ways, but it says, "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." Now, if we just look at this verse face value, this would seem quite unfair of God. Pharaoh is in a tight spot. In other words, there's nothing that Pharaoh can do. But we know that that's not necessarily the case, because every person has a choice. So I did some reading on this a little bit, And when he talks about hardening his heart, sorry about that. Are we good? So when he talks about hardening his heart, the issue is that's the result of what is happening. That's not necessarily the cause. Okay? Did you guys get that? It's the result of what's happening. The message of let my people go is the occasion that's going on, but it's not the cause. The cause is the king's stubbornness. And you have to actually, we talked about this the other day, you have to go back to chapter 5. So go back to chapter 5, read verse 1 and 2. Now, these 10 plagues and all this stuff that's happening goes all the way back to chapter 5. You have to really understand this, and then you kind of grasp the narrative going on. And remember, it says, and after Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us, and continued on. Remember, I mentioned a few days ago when we went through chapter 5, that this is the first time that God identifies himself with as the God of Israel. Remember, all the way before that, he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he was the God of the patriarchs, but now he identifies himself, I am the God of the people of Israel. Now, in the ancient times, the power or the majesty of your God was in direct correlation with your own success. In other words, the Israelites, Pharaoh had no regard for this God of Israel, because the Israelites were in bondage. They were subservient to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh looks and says, why should I listen to this God? He's a nobody to me. This God means nothing to me. In fact, this God is a God of lowly people. In other words, he's got a very, very low position. And so Pharaoh's response is, I've never heard of it. It's, okay, he has heard of this God, obviously. Right? He is the God of the Hebrews. He knows, but it's like, I don't know this God. I do not respect this God. This God means nothing to me. It's as if I've never even heard his name. Why would I listen to a God of a bunch of slaves that are subservient, that are really nothing and have low, low stature? And so this is the narrative. This is the power play that's going on. Here's Pharaoh, and he believes his gods are the best, that his gods are the greatest. And now Moses comes and says, the God of the Hebrews of Israel wants you to let them go. I mean, Pharaoh's correct in a way, saying, what? I'm not going to listen to this God. This God is weak. This God means nothing. This God, you know, X, Y, Z. And so the plagues that happen, each one of those is a power play. Each one of those, because you'll notice as we go through these passages that what happens? Okay, so in chapter 7, the first thing that happens, he throws down the staff. Like he did when God revealed himself to Moses, he throws down the staff, and what does Pharaoh do? He's like, well, our gods can do that. And so he gets the magicians to throw down the staff. Incidentally, what God did was an absolute miracle. He took a true staff, and he laid it down, and it turned into a serpent. That's crazy, okay? David Blaine can't do that. He might do something like this. He may take a snake and put it in a catatonic state where it becomes stiff. And it was quite common at the time that they would hide these snakes in their outfits, and then they would bring it out, and they would seem like they're stiff or staff, and then they throw it down and pat their head, and then they would wake up and they would go back into their form. It's an illusion, you know, in this regard. You know, I don't know, I've spent enough time with Sean McFarlane, right, to know that there's no such thing as magic in this world. Those guys are just extremely gifted. The hand is quicker than the eye, that is true. And so there's no such thing as magic. In fact, you know, I was talking to him about, because I'm a huge magic fan. I love sleight of hand, and I watch the TV shows all the time, and I'll go to him and say, hey, Sean, I saw this trick. How did he can't reveal his secrets to me, obviously, because then he's got to kill me. And so, I don't want to mess with his livelihood. But the constant thing is, those things are all staged. You know, when they make like things disappear, everyone's kind of shocked. Industry standard, it's all staged. They're all paid actors and actresses, you know, in all these kind of things. So in any case, I don't want to talk about magic here. But that's basically what they did. They came and they put these snakes in a catatonic state, and then it turned into a serpent. And that's, it's kind of like, and really, this is a really, okay, test. All right, here we go. This is a great picture in a lot of ways of God and the demonic, isn't it? I mean, you could draw so many parallels. God has the real power. I mean, real miracles, real. The enemy has some power too, but it's deception. It's like it, but not quite. It's another way of saying it's counterfeit. And you'll notice all through the scriptures, you know, we talk about spiritual warfare, all these things. God has got the real thing, and all the enemy can do is counterfeit it, right? The enemy is not an originator. The enemy is not creative, right? God is creative. He's got all that stuff going for him. The enemy, all he can do is just counterfeit it. And you can draw this, talk about power. You can talk about all different kinds of stuff. I mean, God wants the real thing. Marriage, intimacy in marriage, and this beautiful play of emotions and the physicality, you know, all in the real thing in the marriage. And the only thing the enemy can do is try to copy it in a way, but always twist it and pervert it in some way. And so you have pornography, you know, you have all these seemingly illicit things, visual things, but it doesn't catch the heart of it. Doesn't catch the heart of God or what God wants out of the intimacy and whatnot. And so what a great picture. And so this power play is being manifested. And so God operates in his power, because the whole point, it's not that God is hardening Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart is already hardened because he is trusting on his sorcerers, on his sources of power, on his gods. And every time God has to come and just trump him. One after another. So the staff comes, right? And notice that even in that there's no you know, Aaron's rod consumes the rod of Pharaoh's. And if you watch Ten Commandments, you know, Charlton Heston's a great scene, you know, about this exact picture, and we see how that kind of manifests. And even that doesn't move him, because you know Pharaoh's all about, well, my sorcerer's gonna do the same thing. Well, kind of, but we see who's more powerful in this regard. Then the next thing you have, the water. So he takes the Nile, and most likely Moses was probably barred from the palace, and so he goes to the side of the bank and where he sees Pharaoh. He would typically come out and bathe and kind of do what he does. So he meets him at that place, probably on the other side of the bank, and he turns the Nile into blood. Now, if he turns it into actual blood or colored blood, I don't know. But it's foul. It's poisonous. Every fish dies in the Nile, and this is within the great source of the power of Egypt. That through the desert, you have this powerful river that runs through it that has so much life in it, and in essence, it's a god to them. And the Lord strikes at the very heart of their belief. And the crazy thing is, if you read this, it's not just the streams, the brooks. You know what I mean? It's not like Moses had some food coloring, you know, that he stuck in. I mean, it went everywhere, even people's pots and pans where the water was. It all turned into blood. I mean, that's crazy. Well, it says that his sorcerers also did the same thing. And they could do the same thing. Not with this kind of power. Well, it wasn't. They weren't powerful enough to reverse it, as the Lord will do later on. But it's this again. It's continually this power play that's at work, right? You have God's power that's manifested, and then you have the pseudo power, the counterfeit power that the enemy Obviously, God's working is more, so much more grand. It lasts 7 days. But just simply the fact, Pharaoh's not convinced. Well, yeah, our guys do the same thing. You know, I mean, it may not be in the level of what God is doing through Moses, but you know, he's not impressed. And so he's still judging the God of Israel as his lowly God. And so you see why that there is 10 plagues, right? Or there is these 10 incidences that come about. And all it is, it's one thing after another, after another, after another, of God trumping the power of the enemy, of God trumping the power of Egypt through their sorcerers and their magicians and, you know, their own prophets and all these things. And so this whole thing is just a huge power play, you know, that's at work, that God is having to prove to Pharaoh and the Egyptians that he is, in essence, not just the God of Israel, but he is the one and true God, period. And, you know, we'll see this story just kind of continually woven through here. They can't drink any of this water. It's such a bad state that they're in right now that they end up trying to dig around for fresh water that they can drink so they can survive these 7 days. And then we get into the frogs in the next passage. Okay, so let's close our eyes today. Just as kind of a meditation, for us, that kind of relates to the passage, but I'm just curious, and maybe ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, are you settling for the counterfeit instead of the real thing? Maybe you want joy or peace or, you know, what God really has to offer. And you're settling for a counterfeit. You're medicating yourself with entertainment or with shopping to try to get you that satisfaction that you really want. Now, God has real things for us. He has real stuff that he wants to give to you. His joy, his peace, his favor. Are we merely settling for the counterfeits? You know, God wants you to walk in intimacy with one another. And he's reserved that seal of that intimacy, which is intercourse, for the marriage bed. Are you bypassing? Are you settling for the counterfeit instead of the real thing that God wants for you? And this could be laid out in so many different ways. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let's seek God for his real thing that is so plentiful to the people that ask. Let's not settle for the counterfeits that are available to us in the world. And as we sing a song this morning, let's meditate on that. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to continue to speak to us about those areas where we are settling. If God brings things to mind, I want to encourage you to just ask the Lord for forgiveness. Repent. Seek God for the real thing. And what your heart really, really desires. And let there be a real clarity in our mind on those matters as well. I want to encourage you to just spend this time and go before the Lord and just take care of business that you need to take care of this morning. Let's pray over our community that is ill. Let's continue to lift them up. And, you know, particularly if we can continue to pray for David. I actually saw Sue last night, yesterday when I was flying in at the airport. And David's actually started chemotherapy. and which is kind of good and bad. Apparently, all the bad cells is coming out more, and so they had to start chemo now. And so if we can just continue to pray for him and his family, pray for God's healing word upon his life and others also on that list. So let's lift up. Pray for our community that is ill but needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for that word of healing, the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related issues. Let's pray for God's hand of healing upon them. One note on the bottom there, Marcus's mom, who's having surgery this Wednesday. If we can lift her up especially as well, let's pray. Let's pray for our community that is looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and just His care over them during this time. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China today. Particularly, let's lift up SP Beijing and Pastor Sam and his family and Chris and their family, Mary. Pray for all the members that would just continue to grow. Pray for protection there as well. Pray for Leanne and that everyone will be making their way here this week. Pray for the Chung family who are actually here now. The Lord would just continue to bless and use them. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas, Edie Clark, the kids in Chichihar, and the orphanage that we support, and the churches throughout China, that God would use them to bring incredible revival and light. Let's lift up China and whatever God puts on your heart for this country. Let's just pray for them. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with us, that we would work well, we would work hard, that we would walk in the wisdom of God and really lead our ministries in an effective way. Let's lift up. Cover our worship teams and our sound and media team. Let's pray for a real heart of worship and a heart to serve, and that they would continue to add to their skills, either media or sound and worship. But more than that, they would really have a heart to worship God on their own, and it would flow through when we gather together in our meetings. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous ministry. These are the guys that do the spread and amongst other things. And let's continue to pray for them. Let's pray that the creativity of God will continue to flow and it really be more used here at SP. And let's just pray for each of the leaders. This is John Lee, Hannah, Audrey, some of the other ones. Let's just ask the Lord to bless them. Pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for Kennedy House Church, Old Peak Road, Bonham, Kowloon, and Lan Kwai Fong. Let's pray that they would, as they go over the message, that they would continue to draw near to each other. Pray for great discussion, great ministry, great fellowship, and especially they would get ready for the retreat together. Let's lift up. Lastly, let's cover our retreat this year, actually coming up this Friday night here at 7:30. Let's pray for all of our friends that are traveling in, from our guest speakers to Juanita, to our friends in Singapore and Beijing, even some that are coming from Korea. Let's ask for God's hand upon us. Pray for this incredible time of ministry. Pray for Pastor Robinson, that God would just really use him to speak life into our community. Pray over all the logistics, you know, no one loses their ferry tickets, everyone gets their China visa if they're still trying to get it, and that we would really come together. Pray for people don't get sick this week or business plans finally, you know, suddenly erupt. Let's just pray for peace and schedules to open up throughout this time. Let's cover. Lord, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you that you are the true God, Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. God, and you should love the Lord your God all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Help us, God, to continually remember that you are the only one. God, and our allegiance is to you and to you alone, God. And forgive us, Lord, when we lose sight of that, God, and we start going after the counterfeits, Lord, or going after the things that the world has to offer, the fake stuff, God. Lord, when we have the genuine article right in the midst of us. And so watch over us, God. Help us as we prepare this week to go together as a community and retreat. Help us, God, with our schedules and everything that goes on, Father, that we can just simply come and meet with you, God, because we know you want to meet with us. And so thank you. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your time. Please keep cool. It's very hot today. And have fun.